Everybody have a good weekend so far? We began last week on our Rooted series. And we talked about being uprooted and what that means in our lives. We looked at Mark 4, the parable of the soils, remember that? And we talked about what can sometimes uproot us. And we did a little talking about what it means to be rooted in anything. And worries, deceitfulness of wealth, Satan, persecution, and desires for other things uproot the roots that God wants to plant in our lives at times. And we've been away for about 168 hours, so I wonder, out of all of us, the different times in the last 168 hours that we planted our roots firmly in the Word of God and managed to stay the course throughout our day. That's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge to stay rooted. And some of us, well, all of us, probably at some point in time, we've been uprooted by something, some type of drama in life. That's just life. And we got to rebound, and we got to start replanting. Sean and KJ helped out, and I did a little bit, and Carlin did. We dug up the roots. We were doing some weeding in our new home, and we this is kind of where the rocks are, so some of the roots are really dug down deep, and I had to twist them and, pull them out, you know. And some of them, we just plucked up real easy, you know. We want to be the ones, not weeds, but we want to be roots, our convictions to where they're deep and they're hard to be pulled out. And that's the prayer. And so we want to approach this series and how do we deepen the roots in our lives? The convictions, and many times we're uprooted, but how do we deepen them? Today, we're going to talk about deepening our roots in the Word of God. In the Word of God. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no roots like the Word of God. When you can really embrace the Word of God, and we're gonna study a little passage from Deuteronomy. So turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to read something that Henrietta Mears wrote about Deuteronomy. I thought it was really a cool commentary of sorts or description. You will come to appreciate the full force and magnetic beauty of Deuteronomy only as you read its pages. Nothing in literature matches the majesty of its eloquence. Nothing in the Old Testament has a more powerful appeal for the spiritual life. No book in all the Word of God pictures better the life that is lived according to God's will and the blessing showered upon the soul who comes into the richness and fullness of spiritual living along the rugged path of simple obedience. If you want a taste of heaven on earth, become familiar with Deuteronomy. That was great. I feel like reading the whole book now. Set the scene. It's before the new generation, Deuteronomy 6, is committed to Joshua's charge. Moses, at God's command, rehearses the law again to his people. Let's begin in verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws from the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. When you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only and make your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did in Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on an oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your son asks you, what is this meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws and the Lord your God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders and great and terrible on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as in the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. What did God wanted them to remember, this new generation? What stands out to you? Yeah. Where he brought them from. Where he brought them from. Yeah. To remember that he brought them out of the land of slavery. You didn't do it. You know, sometimes when we tell stories, we kind of tend to elevate ourselves. You know, in high school, you know, you average 7 points a game, but then 20 years later, you've averaged 17 points. 30 years later, you're All-American averaging 27 points, you know. The story just gets bigger, you know. He said, remember, I brought you out. You had nothing to do with it. It was me. Yes. Don't forget to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah. Yes. Yes. If you put God first, he said, I'll give you what you want. Sometimes God doesn't give us what we want. It's not best. But I believe he's saying, I'll give you what you need. I'll fulfill your needs if you put me first. Trust me. Trust me. Yes. And what was the first part? You said stay focused, and what was the first part? Like, absolutely. Absolutely. Remembering what God says, what God lays down. Yes, T. Yeah. I'm going to take care of you. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Pat. Absolutely. Share me. Repeat me. Tell people about me. And it only enhances and helps us when we or them when they would tell about God. Yeah. Somebody, yeah. Yeah, so like in verse 2, so that your children and their children after them may fear your God. There'll be a healthy respect for me. He wants them to remember, because obviously we tend to look to other gods, lowercase g, to rely on. He says, I'm the one you need to trust. Who else? Somebody else? Put a hand. A lot of things. I mean, this scripture, these verses are filled with God wanting them to remember, because you have to remember they forgot. And they start chasing other gods, and it's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. In verse 4, it stands out to me in verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. But what in the world does the Lord is one mean? He's saying, in opposition to and to distinguish him from the dead idols, the dead gods. He says, I am the one God. There is no God before me. Remember that. To fear me, to respect me. Remember, God is incomparable and unrivaled. His decrees, operations, timing, existence, faithfulness, his love, his claims. God's other gods can't touch him. Can't touch him. And remember to love me. It's about a relationship. It's not about a law. It's not about duty. It's about love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Remember to love God with all that you have. His words and will, in verse 6, he wanted them to impress them. These commands I give you, impress them, verse 7. Talk about them. Tie them in symbols. Do whatever it takes to remember what God says. To remember his will. Do whatever it takes. God desires them to get deep and to dig deep roots. Deep roots. Turn with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I love this verse. I think we can learn a lot from it. Says in verse 1 of Psalm 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Verse 2, but those who delight in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, That person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. I want to be that kind of root. I want to be that kind of tree. That whatever I do, because I'm planted, God prospers. Whatever storms hit me, drama, challenges, relationships, broke, rich, doesn't matter. That I am planted by the streams of water. I don't want to walk in step with the wicked and stand in the way of sinners. Because their way, sinners' way, people who miss the mark's way, they simply miss the mark because they're not following the words of God. They're not trusting in the words of God. God gives us much guidance. Amen? Now, one of the absolute most powerful ways we can dig deep roots spiritually is through meditation. 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 According to this scripture, one demonstrates their delight in God by meditating on his word. You see that? Those who delight in his law, in verse 2, they meditate on it day and night. So one demonstrates their delight in God by how they think about God and his word. What you delight in is what you think about often, right? For the most part. We're going to talk about some meditation today. Our minds are often distracted, and we need many moments of meditation. And we wonder sometimes why, man, we get all excited like the parable of the sower, all the soils, all excited about the word, and we leave those doors, and 30 minutes later, we've gotten spiritual amnesia. We can't remember what the sermon was about, the point. I mean, you know, there are times I preach the word, and 30 minutes later, I go, what did I preach about? Because so many things can come into play. The Christian statesman William Wilberforce marked the passing of his bill to abolish the slave trade in England by meditating on Psalm 115:1. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Meditation is powerful. David, his example of meditation, Psalm 63, verse 6, on my bed I remember you. I think of you throughout the watches of the night. David meditated on God's word. John Piper gives an interesting word picture of meditation writing that if you want to be filled with the spirit of passion and exaltation over the great things of God, you must fill your mind day and night with the word of God. Pour over it, memorize it, chew it. Put it like a lozenge under your tongue of the soul and let it flavor your affections day and night. Martin Luther, for ministers, wrote prayer, meditation, and temptation make a minister. Matthew Henry, if we willingly banish holy meditations in our solitary hours, Satan will soon occupy our minds with sinful imaginations. So true. So true. How well do you meditate on the word of God? How well do you meditate on the word of God? I want us to do a little exercise here, all right? Don't be scared. On a scale from 1 to 10, One being you think about the Word of God once a year. 10 being you think about it every day throughout the day. Where would you fall? Scale 1 to 10. Why don't you turn to your neighbor or people next to you and just kind of get a rating. Why don't you give them that rating right now? Go ahead and share. 1 to 10. Don't be afraid. Be honest. Be honest. All right. Okay. Doesn't take long. It's a number. All right. Now, yeah, y'all are saying here I'm a 5, and here's why. All right. So, how many of you were? If you want to be open, that's fine. We're a family. How many of you leaning like 5 or less? Okay. Anyone want to say kind of why you describe yourself 5 or less? Yes. Okay. Yeah. So lots happening in our lives, lots happening. We're waking up and constantly we're serving, giving, things are going on, demands, situations, and then we think about God's word perhaps later on. Okay? Yeah, anybody else? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Well, you know, you're right. We have seasons. Sometimes we can look back and go, how was our month last month? And we go, boy, the first week was really good in meditating. I was in God's word, and then something happened. Then I was off for 4 days, you know, and life hit, and something larger than God came about, right? And then we get off course. Yeah, Todd. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's tough. It's tough not to think about me and how stuff applies to me. I like thinking about me. Amen. I'm glad we share that in common. Yes, Patty. Mm. Yeah, yeah. That's right, that's right. Yeah. Look at that bird. Go on there. Well, you know, sometimes I was talking to one brother shared the other day, he said, you know, back in the day we said, we got to go out into God's nature and get God in nature, and yes, and brother was like, I grew up in the city. I don't see God in nature, you know, and that's fine. Everybody's different. You have to find your way to connect. If it's going in nature, if it's going out and sitting out and looking at the trees and the birds and going, wow, God is amazing. If that's what you do and you connect with God and you can remember and meditate, then do that. If you sit on your couch and have a cup of coffee and you can just close your, whatever it takes, but we have to dig these roots. You know, I want to encourage you. So any 10s? Bill's a 10. Wow. Come on up here and speak. Okay, tell us why you said you were 10. I want to hear this. they go. Well, that's kind of meditation. We'll give you a pass on that. It's amazing. Now, I want to encourage you with this. You know how to meditate. You know how to meditate. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Because worry is just thinking about negative things all the time. Some of you are really good meditators because you're really good worriers. But we want to change that. And see, Eastern meditation is an emptying of the mind. And we're familiar with that. We empty the mind. Biblical meditation is filling your mind with God's word, God's character, God's will, God's presence, God. That is the word in Psalm 1. It's this word that says, I'm going to think about God over and over again. I'm going to think about this scripture over and over and over again. It's chewing on that thought. And it relates to remembering God. I didn't know this, but this word meditation, or meditating in Psalm 1, it means to growl, to mourn, to quietly repeat in a soft voice, to speak it out. It's not just think it out. It's speak it out. It's saying it over and over and over again. He says, the man who says it over and over and over again, the one who delights in the Lord says his name, talks about his will over and over and over again. That person is planted by the streams of water. That person prospers, the one who meditates. I didn't get a lot of amens on that. I had to understand a couple things about, or one thing about the character of God. And this one thing I wrestled with and still wrestle with. And it's the whole phrase of God cares for me. I wrestle with that. Many of you know my father. He is an amazing dad. And I shared with the group this past week that my father, growing up, was my coach on the field. He was there almost every practice. He helped me with my athletic talents and all that stuff. But he didn't understand how to coach me off the field. And it's not because he's a bad man. He was a great father. He did what he knew, but he couldn't coach me off the field. And as a result, I didn't mature in a lot of areas. And when I think about the scripture in 1 Peter 5:7, cast your anxieties on the Lord. I've read that many times. And I've casted my anxiety on the Lord. I've also reeled some back. Because when I casted my anxiety on the Lord and he didn't work things out the way I thought they should be worked out, then I started to doubt that God cares for me. Now, I could share and preach, God loves the world, God loves me. Amen, whatever that means. But does he care for me? He loves me, but does he? So if you care for me, if you really care for me, why are you allowing? If you really care for me, why is this happening? If you really care for me, why did you cause this or this person do this or that situation? If you really care for me, because if I cared for me, I wouldn't let that happen. So believing or having that doubt that God cares for me, does that affect the way I cast my anxieties? It does for me. I didn't tell my dad all that was going on in my life and in my heart. I didn't know how to cast my anxieties to him. And obviously he didn't know how to cast his anxieties to his father because he couldn't. My dad did the best he could, but to be able to cast your anxieties and tell God how you feel and tell him what's going on and still trust that he cares for me. It took me a long while to cast my anxieties to God because I thought God was going to say, are you complaining? Say what? I didn't hear you. You didn't cast, I didn't cast my anxieties at my father that way. He'd have cast me out of the house. I got a problem, Dad. Yeah, you do, son. My dad is a wonderful man. He did the best. Wonderful father. And now that he's a Christian, boy, it's a whole different world. But I'm talking about me and what I struggle with and what I need to meditate on. What I need to growl and talk about and speak in a soft voice over and over and over again. God cares for me. 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 I mean, it all depends on the day. All depends on the situation. I may have to say it 50,000 times one day. Or I may have to say it one time in one day. God cares for me. He got me. When you're on vacation, that's easy to do, right? When you got trials, money's low, challenging relationships, for me, that's where I got to meditate. Meditate. Meditate about God, with God. Talk about God with God. Think about God and his excellencies, his glory, his majesty, his love, his goodness. Speak directly to God in a spirit of deep humility and dependence before him as I express holy admiration. You care. And here's what's wild. What I learned as I'm meditating on he cares for me, he cares for me, he cares for me, I realize that if he would not allow me to go through these things, I wouldn't have grown. And I wouldn't be like Jesus in these areas. He cares for me not the way I would care for myself. Because I don't know all of life. God sees the big picture. So if you're having a problem with how God is leading your life, just step back and meditate. God cares for me. God cares for me. Or you can say, God, all things happen for the good. God loves me. What is the good? The good is me being formed in the image of Jesus. So if God wouldn't have allowed these situations to happen for me to overcome, to forgive, to love anyway, unconditionally, I wouldn't have grown. If I care for me the way I want to care, I would still be a spiritual infant. Because I want comfort. I don't want character. Give me, mail me character. Can I eBay character? Can I get on eBay and buy some character? That's how I want to get character. I don't want to go through drama to get character. But if you follow Jesus, you got to understand that God cares for us in that way. Meditate. Meditate. Read the scriptures. Look for God's guidance and help and direction. It's a discovery of God's mind and will within the scriptures. So if you're going through something, and we all are going through something, find a word, a phrase, a thought, a conviction, and speak it softly. Growl it. Talk about it day and night. Let it become something that's a habit, because what you do in your mind is then what will lead to your convictions. And then your convictions will lead to your actions. So if you're having bad actions, question your convictions, change your mind. Repent. Being rooted in the Word of God. I believe that if we meditate, this is one thing. If we meditate on God's will, God's word, God's character, day and night, we will be like that tree planted by the water. And whatever we do, we'll prosper, not the way we think prosperity is, but God's will, God's design, God's work. God being the potter, we being the clay. So this morning, if you need prayer on whatever we talked about, if you need prayer in your life, and you feel like you're like the weed that's planted very shallowly, and you keep on being uprooted, and you don't know why, I pray that today provided some answer, some comfort. But if you want prayer and need prayer, several of us will be gathered in the meet and greet room, and we want to pray with you. We want to go to God on your behalf so that you can deeply plant the roots of the Word of God in your life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for allowing us to see all aspects of your word, your will, your character. Thank you for Deuteronomy. Thank you for the Psalms. Thank you for the way that you paint the picture and you shared with us examples of those who followed you and those who don't and didn't. Father, we thank you that we have the full armor to be able to fight in this battle. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, our example. We thank you for caring for us the way you do. I pray for hearts and minds this morning that, Father, on this Memorial Day weekend, and we will remember you, remember your words, and, Father, remember to meditate. We thank you for this day. Bless our weekend, and bless those who are away, that they will come back, have safe travels. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You're dismissed. Those of you who need prayer will be in the meet and greet room.